Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Michael Steele podcast. I'm glad you can join us. Just sort of a little bit of a deep dive to party chairman inside the GOP talking about how we save ourselves from ourselves. The book, The Fall of the Shining City, its author is Chris Vance. Chris, so you noted as we were going to break, you talked about creating a faction, and you and I have had this debate for quite some time, making the case for a new party. You lay it out expertly in your book. I really want to open that up because I think there's a lot there that people don't know. There's a lot there that people presume. But more importantly, there's a lot there that we can do to sort of get that going. You note in the book, quote, "There is absolutely no reason why we must remain locked into the current party duopoly. Until relatively recently, our political parties were constantly splitting up, realigning, and reforming. The Federalist Party broke up and vanished after the War of 1812. The Democratic Party split over the leadership of Andrew Jackson and internal improvements, eventually creating the Whig Party. The Whigs broke up in the 1850s over the issue of slavery, and the Republican Party emerged. Republicans split in 1872 over Reconstruction, again in 1896 over the currency issue, and again in 1912. That tells you right now, we unstable as hell.
Sure. We used to be.
Yeah, right. As the bull moose progressives followed Theodore Roosevelt out of the GOP. Southern Democrats split with their party over civil rights in 1948, 1960, and 1968 before ultimately migrating to the Republican Party. That is history. That is fact. That is what's occurred. Talk to us about the case for a new party in light of this history, and what that fight should look like.
Yeah. So after 2016, I have been in the wilderness running around trying to find, you know, what's left of the my fellow conservatives. I have dabbled in everything, you know, in an independent movement. I was very briefly part of the Forward Party. But in the end, you know, I'm a conservative. I'm a Reaganite conservative. I'm not a moderate. I'm not a centrist. I'm not an independent, even though I ran for the state Senate as an independent against a hardcore MAGA Republican. But there's two choices, and only two choices. We can create a new party, or we can create a distinct branded faction within the Republican Party to fight for control of the Republican Party. I would go either way. If Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney and others said, we're forming a new party, we're going to have a convention and drop balloons and everything, I'll be there. You betcha. But I've come to believe that a faction is a better option, because it's really hard to explain to people what a party stands for. You've got ballot access problems. And just the American people don't believe there could be another party. Somehow they think that, like, God has come down and said, thou shalt only be two parties, and then thy name shall be Republican and Democrat. So, but my God, creating a faction to fight within the Republican Party just makes so much sense. It should have happened a long time ago, and it would be relatively simple. A group of leaders need to form a pack, file the paperwork to form a pack, give it a name, and start raising money and engaging in political things. Find candidates to run in primaries. Find candidates in blue states to run against Democrats, and do battle at county conventions, state conventions, to take back the infrastructure of the state party. It may take a very long time, or it may happen very quickly. Things tend to shift. If Trump loses this November, which I still think is the most likely outcome, there's going to be a lot of Republicans sick of losing. But this is what has to happen, because I'll just say this. I mean, if Donald Trump passed from the scene today, the party wouldn't magically transform back.
No, it wouldn't. No, I think that's something people don't understand. Yeah.
The base is so mogified.
Right. Exactly. So instead of just playing that out a little bit, instead of this idea of, you know, creating a PAC and raising the money and run, MAGA didn't do that. MAGA just converted people. Is it possible to just convert them back, or to more importantly, get those who were once engaged to re-engage? In other words, come back into the fight.
Uh-huh.
We hear the generals that are leading the fight. Here are the troops who are already armed and ready to go. Why doesn't that part of dealing with and creating that faction work versus something else?
Well, that's a great point. MAGA took over the party the traditional way, from the top down. Every political party has been organized from the top down, not the bottom up, and united around a candidate.
Right.
Donald Trump, to his credit, give him credit, he had the guts to do it, ran for office, put himself out there, and he won. And that fact gave MAGA power. Now, that is one path for us. And I think maybe there's people thinking this way right now,
which
is, okay, let's beat Trump in 2024 and then run a normal, smart, good Reaganite Republican, there's lots of them out there, for president in 2028.
Right.
And by doing that, if we win, we take back control of the party. And there is a lot of truth in that. That might work. But
you got to get to that Republican primary.
Right. And that's why I think you got to lay the groundwork by creating, you know, a faction, a branded faction to take the party back. And as you said, we need some generals. We need some of the big leaders, the Liz Cheneys and the Mitt Romneys and the Kinzingers and the Pences and Christie, to step up and join this.
But will they? The problem. Isn't that at the end of the day? I mean, you're talking about individuals who did not grow up in the party. They weren't county chairmen. They weren't state party officials. They weren't political operatives in that sense. They decided, oh, I want to be on a ballot. They ran. They won.
Right.
They became the senator, the congressman. They'd be the important person, and others did the work. Without that lack of appreciation of the work, you don't appreciate the risk. They're not risk takers, in my view.
Right.
Which is why this fight has been so lopsided. Which is why you have a Lindsey Graham. And others sort of, oh, okay, well, I'll move off of John McCain and I'll move on to Trump. But you know, he just called your boy McCain a bitch, right? Mm-hmm. He said he was a punk. You know, that's okay. No, he didn't really mean that. They start rationalizing because they don't have what it takes to actually lead that fight.
Right, right. So, you know, more and more I'm thinking, after Eisenhower took control. So again, critics think we've always been far right. They don't realize that, you know, after the Great Depression, the people who led the Republican Party were Wendell Willkie, Tom Dewey, and Dwight Eisenhower, who were all liberals in the Republican Party. And the conservative base was really unhappy with this. So you had the William F. Buckley, Brent Bozell, all that crowd from the famous from the 1950s who created the conservative movement that you and I grew up with, the conservative movement. They, on their own, created an infrastructure of conservative activists who went out and agitated within the Republican Party and then eventually united around the leadership of, not even the leadership, the candidacy of first Goldwater and then Reagan. And I think that's what... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so I want to put a pin in that because I think it's an important point, because that then ties back to the makeup of the Republican Party at the grassroots level. When I read through the evolution, the breaking up of one party or faction, peeling off and creating something else, you had referenced earlier something very similar in that you had, as you noted in your book, you had the Southern Democrats split with their party over civil rights. So they were pissed about Kennedy embracing civil rights. Johnson finally did it, who was a redneck, you know, good old boy finally did. And they went, oh, hell no, we're out of here, which again led to why, A, Kennedy went to Dallas on that in that fateful November of 1963 to shore up the support he was losing among the political party at the base level. You had 48, 60, and 68, where the civil rights issues started pulling off white Southern men. So at that same time, you had Nixon making the calculation for his Southern strategy to get those men. William F. Buckley and others that you mentioned writing sort of a manifesto that appealed to that white Southern male conservative. So when you stop and think about the emergence of the conservative movement inside the GOP, it effectively took away or diminished the two pillars that we started our conversation on, which was national security.
Yes.
And the economy.
Right. They care way more about culture than those two issues.
And that's how we get where we are today.
Right. And so what we need to do now is, as you talked about, their base was disaffected white Southern men. The Republican Party used to be the party of college-educated suburbanites.
Right.
And Southern and rural conservatives.
Right.
We've lost the Southern, the college-educated suburban voters. I think our new faction needs to be built around that. We need to go back and appeal to those people, the people who have shifted from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party, even though they don't like having their taxes raised. They believe in capitalism, but the Republican positions on all social issues, and particularly Trump, are just abhorrent to them. And that has got to be the base of a new political movement. These disaffected suburban voters who right now are mostly voting for Democrats, but they don't really want to,
right.
You know? I saw that happen so much here in my state, where you have the affluent Microsoft, you know, college-educated suburban voters around Seattle. Those districts used to be overwhelmingly Republican. Now the Republican Party doesn't even run candidates there. But those are the people that need to be the base for a new conservative or new political movement to retake the Republican Party, because they're sick of Trump. But they don't like Democrats, believe me.
Is that a shifting back to Reaganism? What does that look like? What does that look like philosophically, not just politically?
A modernized Reaganism, you know, on today's issues. Reagan ran on specific issues. I mean, when he ran, the economy was not growing and taxes, marginal tax rates were through the roof. You know, that's not true today. I mean, Republicans don't need to cut taxes right now. You know,
no,
in fact,
they
ought to be thinking about raising taxes on the rich to bring down the debt. But the basic pillars of strong national security, oppose Putin, stand against China, and grow the economy, that's what we should build around. But the world has changed. For instance, I mean, I can't imagine any political party is going to survive now that is staunchly pro-life. I mean, just the American people won't have it. In most states, especially in the states where we would have to. So it would have to be a reimagined, updated version of the basic core ideas of Reagan, Bush, Republicans, tailored to today's issues. And the country has changed.
So Chris, but here's a question. How do you then move those issues, immigration, abortion, what we've seen happening in the education space, what we've seen happen in other cultural components of our society, whether you're talking about gay and lesbian rights, you're talking about the emerging role of women in not just in terms of business, but now political power and other forms of power that they've been asserting. How do those issues align along with what you're seeing in terms of the impact that we're seeing played out right now on abortion? And it's now so much part of the conversation. We are so far removed from economic and national security issues.
Right. Well, I think that when you actually look at it, the vast majority of the American people agree on immigration. They do. It's the far right and the far left which make it so hard. I mean, most Americans want the border secure. Nobody should come in this country illegally, but they don't want to deport 11 million people who are already here.
Right.
And they have compassion for asylum seekers. It's only the extremists that stop it. And I think that's true on most every issue. Most Americans do not support abortion at any time for any reason, but they also think that abortion should be accessible for those who need it. And it's a really hard issue to talk about. But also the overwhelming majority of Americans support gay marriage.
Right.
They support transgender rights. They didn't in the old days. I mean, when I was state party chairman, if the Democrats dared to just put a sentence in their platform about same-sex marriage, we called them the crazy loony left. I mean,
this country has
moved culturally so much.
And that's what the heart of the fight is about among these MAGA conservatives. That's actually just MAGA Republicans, because it's not conservatism in the sense that the key thing to remember,
you got to factor in the Democrats.
Right.
I think the only thing propping up the Democrats is Donald Trump. They have so alienated the middle class and suburban voters with really high gas prices, particularly in my state.
Right.
And more than anything, and taxes and spending and crime.
Right. Right.
Crime. There's a general sense that Democrats tolerate disorder and crime, and that is just fatal to them. So we would need to have a movement that says to people, we're going to keep you safe from the Russians, the Chinese, and criminals. You know, we're going to grow the economy. We're going to be moderate and tolerant on social issues. To sum it all up, I can't count the number of times people would call me when I was chairman and say, you know, Chris, I would really support Republicans if you know, because I agree with you on taxes and spending and defense, if you just get out of my bedroom.
Right, you know? Right, I've heard that a lot.
Yeah, right. It's the moderate, fiscally conservative, socially moderate party that people say is a unicorn and can never exist.
Right.
Well, I think if it did exist, it would sweep the field.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Facepalm America is a show for progressives and others on the left who want to keep up with the ridiculousness that this country dishes out, find out what cable news misses when they're waiting for Trump to appear at a podium, and also, every once in a while, get a laugh at how silly this hot mess of a nation of ours really is. If that's you, listen to Facepalm America. You can go to facepalmamerica.com or find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.